I'm speaking to you today, I guess, with the perspective of the history that David has so ably outlined for you, but more with the role, my current role, as chair of the IT21 committee, which is the Australian Standards Committee. So really I'm going to focus on now and the future, and what standards work, how they do what they do, and what are we doing in that arena. If any of you have had interaction with the standards world, however obliquely, you will know that it's an alphabet and acronym soup. And we all fall into the same patterns here. So I am reasonably deep in this world, and if I fall into the pattern of talking in abbreviations, please feel free to put your hand up and say, interpretation, please. So we have the standards world is quite a complex world. We're Australia. We have an Australian committee, and that's the committee that I chair at the moment. I'm very privileged to chair at the moment, having taken over from David Muldrick quite recently. We have an international community to which we contribute, and Australia has been a very strong participant in that community over many years. Horrible number, like 20. But anyway, and that's called TC46SC11. And because we're Australian, we don't like the definitions necessarily that other people perhaps want to constrain records by. So our committee also mirrors another international committee, which is about document management. And essentially that stuff comes out of the imaging community. It's a really interesting joint role we have there. But in Australia, we write standards for the Australian environment, and they are standards that you will see with the ASNZ prefix. But we participate in work in the international community, and we choose then, once those international pieces of work are done, whether we will adopt them into Australia. So we participate in the development of them, and then we choose whether we'll bring them into the Australian environment. So what standards are there? And lots is the answer. We've been extremely busy in the last number of years. And the ones in red here I'm going to talk to you a little bit more about. But I also wanted to point out that there's a lot of guidance out there. And in fact, to the extent that the Standards Committee of Standards Australia, the one I am most involved in, has decided that its role most immediately should be to tell people about what's out there, because we fear maybe people don't know. So our role is an advocacy role at the moment, primarily, rather than developing too much new work. Because there's some really, really good standards out there. And in particular, without focusing on the top four, which I'll go into in more detail, the work process analysis standard has been a sleeper. It was written 1995, and it's only now really coming into adoption. And it very much echoes the strategy that David and Jeff talked about, the by design. This is an analysis, a way of looking at how to analyse work. So I totally recommend that you have a look at that. I think there's a few nods from those who I know feel that that's a really good standard. We've got a standard locally, so this is a bit of a mix of local and international, on records classification. And records classification is a fairly controversial topic, but what the records classification standard, actually it's a technical report, but you know, there's flavours of standards is all that means, really does is to say the purpose of classification in records is to link it to business. That's it. You can do it any way you like. You must make sure that it lives in the context of the business that the record was created. So it stops technically. It frees that thinking. You don't have to do it this way. You don't have to do it that way. The purpose of it is to link to the business context. You can do that in as any many ways as you would like, and don't let the specifics constrain you. And again, that's been around in our environment for a long time. I suspect not particularly well known. There's also a really good one on risk assessment for records and about how you generate. So this is a bit tricky because it's not risk assessment for business, but it's risk assessment for records in business. So, but that's another really useful standard to know about. That's an international standard. And then we've got a whack of other things. Look, migration, a very early standard on how to do migration. Suddenly that's coming to the fore again, because legacy systems are now really quite important, and how we're going to manage some of that stuff. Digitisation, we have a really good standard actually coming out of New Zealand, my New Zealand colleagues, wherever you are, which is about digitisation, making a distinction between digitising before you do the business, in which case the record is the digital, not the paper, and digitising after the business is finished, in which case the record is the paper, because the paper was the one the business was done on, and making some distinctions around back capture. So some very, very good, clear, basic, foundational pieces of work. I will say that we also echo the International Micrographics and Imaging Standards, so there's format standards in our suite, and lately we've had a lot of activity on PDF standards, which is beyond my technical competence, but they're very complicated. So, lots of standards. I thought, there is a list, and I apologise for pointing to our own website here, but that's where I wrote it, and it was two pages, and I couldn't photocopy it for all of you. So, there are lists that periodically appear to give you guidance. One way of thinking about this, because the other side of standards is, of course, that wonderful saying, standards, standards, so many of them, if you don't like it, turn around, which one will I apply, whichever one you like, there's a whole lot of jokes around so many standards, I can find one to fit. There is a hierarchy of standards, and I just thought it was worth talking that one through. It depends which role you've got, as, of course, all record keeping depends. It's contextual. As public officers in the state of New South Wales, the standards you must comply with are those issued by your record keeping regulator, which will be State Records New South Wales. That's going to be your paramount driver, because that's the environment in which you work. In an ideal world, and as David said, in the world we're trying to design, we will have jurisdictional standards that are in fact in accord with Australian standards, and that's what we're aiming for. We have a lot of collaborative work. We try really hard to make sure that the pieces fit. And then Australian standards should, with again trying to get this stitched together, so the Australian standards should not differ too much from international standards, or if they differ too much, we have explained why they differ. Now that's a bit challenging, because of course some of the Australian understanding of record keeping is a little bit different from some of our international colleagues. But that's the structure. I don't want to leave you thinking that you're in New South Wales. That's the environment in which you work, so that's where that sits. And I'm not talking about that, I'm talking about the other two layers. Undoubtedly you've heard, and David has also touched upon, the process of standardisation. And it is a negotiation process, and you can't always get what you want, as they say, particularly working internationally, but also sometimes we stumble over language, definitions, requirements to sell a message versus establishing protocols. There's a whole lot of things that can come along to trip us up, and have done for a number of years. In the international field, we have issues like different cultures, and not only is record keeping an organisational culture matter, but it's also a national culture matter. So we have quite different ideas on record keeping, even the word. But don't let's go there too much. Between, for example, our American colleagues and our European colleagues. And we are actually more European than American in our approach. So we kind of, yes, negotiating some of those shoals is extremely difficult from time to time. Not perhaps aided by personality types. So David also talked about what standards do, whether they should reflect current practice, or whether they should aspire to be better practice. I'm of the view that they should always be aspirational. They should always set the bar just a little bit above what you can do, and we get to improvement. But that is not necessarily the view of all people who are in the standards world, who quite often come back with criticism, that's not what we're doing, that's not what we're standardising. So people come in and out of this process, and there's a whole literature about familiarisation with the processes. Getting consensus can be difficult, that's locally and internationally, and the process can seem to be extraordinarily long for all of those reasons. But we're very lucky and delighted, really, to talk about the new standard that has been issued this year. So this is, hooray, hooray, ISO 15489, which is the internationalisation of the Australian standard. So David talked very eloquently about the AS4390. It was then taken, its six parts, kind of mushed around a bit. There was some compromise. Are they the right compromises? Who knows? It went into AS15489, which I'm hoping you all recognise. There's a song. I'm not going to sing it. but it was issued in 2002. Now, if you look at the date there, that's a long time. That is a long time for a standard to be around. That it lasted as long is testament to exactly the things David was talking about in terms of its ability to kind of cut through and express things in non-format specific foundational ways. So I think it's a major success, and it reflects the major success of the AS4390 standard. But it was getting a little bit old, and it did have a flavour of paper about it. How could you write without having that flavour? We're in transition. We can't immediately write in digital ways. So this standard is the foundational records management practice standard. I would say record keeping and kind of try and push the boundaries a little bit, but it's really records management, and I won't be going there. And it's a statement of principles and the operational controls and processes that are required for managing records, primarily in organisations. This is the abstract. I wanted really to focus on what's different from the old one. Okay, so it's just been released in April. Catherine's nodding at me. Things like, anyway, much greater emphasis on metadata, because you can't have digital records without metadata. Much greater focus on the digital environment without being format specific. There's a challenge for you. There is a change to the definition of record, and the change is highlighted in red. The change brings in the concept of asset, so that links us to the whole reuse data, data management world. It takes a more governance process view, and it says essentially, record keeping can be done in any range of technologies, environments, blah, 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 blah. Here are the controls you need in order to deploy into any environment. So the controls are record keeping metadata, classification, meaning linking it to a business, to the business that's going on, business little b, not business big b, access, security, and disposal. So there's four. So I think that's good. And hooray, hooray, 20 years later, we've kind of got appraisal back. that's actually, in the international world, a very significant concession. We haven't got it defined, and that's because in many European countries it's defined as part of the law, and they didn't want to go into redefining their law. But we have got the analytic approach clearly specified, linking to both the work process analysis work we've done, and also appraisal is what records should we be creating and capturing. So appraisal becomes the analytic framework on which all of those tools are based. So that's a major, you know, outcome too. Okay, so this is now my little trot through what standards should you know about. So I've just highlighted, you remember I had those red ones. Here, I'm just trotting through these ones now. So the next standard I think you should know about, or is useful for you to know about, is the series of standards that have been written for, they're called Management Systems Standards, Management System for Records Standards, and it's the ISO 30300 series. These are strategic. They might not have a great deal of impact on you personally. It's not, they're not written for you. They're written for senior management. They're written so that they fit within the framework of quality standards, environmental standards, safety and occupational health and safety standards. Those big framework standards that are out there. It was really important, going way, way back to David Muldrick in BHP, to make sure that records are in that framework. So that's what this series of standards do. It is written, and our colleagues, Judith Ellis in particular, is contributing really positively to this work and writing record keeping understandings, if not the words, into the management system framework. So they're strategic, organisation-wide definition of top management commitment, really, to good record keeping. So it's a strategic exercise. They technically are available and relevant to any size organisation. And at the moment, there are three parts to it. There's the key principles, terms and definitions. There's 301, I can't say 30301, yes I can. 30301 is the requirements which can be certified, so those people who require certification can get independent certification against these standards, and 30302 is implementation guidance. So it's worth knowing about those. You may not need them at the moment, but you may need them, particularly if you're in a heavy engineering or a technical environment. My favourite, or not, metadata. I do have a thing about it. I have been on about it for a long time. But I think the world is kind of, turning, because you can't have digital records without metadata. And everybody knows this. And we have really powerful metadata standards. That we haven't succeeded in communicating them particularly brilliantly is probably down to all of us, but there you go. We did this very early, and we got this into the international arena very early too. So 2005 is extremely early in the kind of span of metadata delivery. It is currently quite controversial. So there are a number of people who just want to take this back to a Dublin core profile approach. It's being resisted, primarily by me loudly, because what we have is a far more powerful concept. We have profile, the records created at the point of, record-keeping metadata created at the point of capture, but we've got more than that. We've got process as well, and we keep records of what happened to that record. And that's the stuff we need to prove authenticity and integrity. If you can't tell me the trail of what happened to that record over time, you can't prove it in a court of law, you can't make assertions about it. So I'm standing firm and being horrible about, no, we can't just have a profile. So there is in fact a metadata set internationally in part two, if you choose to interpret it that way, and we have in the Australian community too, a reference set, which, please stop thinking about metadata as prescriptive. It's inherited by systems. It's automatically created. It's malleable, fluid, and mappable. It's interoperability. So I think we need to get away from some of those fixed ideas. So I'm out there plugging for this one. It's a good one to know about, and I think it stands up reasonably well 10 years later, which is not a bad thing either. 16175 is the set of standards internationally on functional requirements. You probably know this. This is came out of more Australian work being done in the CARA community, in the digital record keeping community. And essentially this is a set of standards which is functional requirements for records in electronic office environments. It was adopted, it went to ICA, which is the Council on Archives, the International Council on Archives, and then it also kind of pushed into the ISO community. So it's got a multiple pronged life, which means it's also quite tricky to change. That's one of the downsides of standards. Like, once you get them up there, they can be hard to get changed. We have had it's up for review at the moment, and the recommendations are that it is reviewed. So that's causing a little bit of angst in the Australian community at the moment. But essentially, the recommendation of the committee that was looking at whether to review them says we really need to think about how we do record keeping in multiple technologies, not just something called an EDRMS. You know this stuff, we know this stuff. We need a better alignment, we need a bit more fluidity, we need a bit more capacity to be innovative in how we do what we do. So that is in fact work afoot. And you can hear that all of these things, it's a bit of a two-way push-pull. We've had a lot to do with defining those standards, so we've all got a bit of a stake in how they turn out. And at the same time, the international community is pushing back on us. So it's a nice reciprocal relationship. I wanted to talk to you about work that we have afoot and locally in our committee. As I said to you, our strategy at the moment is to talk about the standards, let people know what's out there, make sure that people are aware of the really good solid stuff that is available for them to use. But we have a number of projects that are ongoing. One is about defining record keeping, trying to translate all of this seemingly very technical and dense stuff into an environment, which although we tried in AS 4390 to do it, and David will remember the flower shop. But anyway, we used to say, now, what about the woman running the flower shop? How will she go with this standard? We're looking at a set of guidance for small business and small organisations. And we're also looking at document control, not so much version control, but, well, maybe version control, but it's in that quality environment. So, again, keeping our roots close to the quality world. Internationally, what we're doing is reviewing standards. That is a constant, and it becomes kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy. You put them up there, you look at them every 5 years or 3 years. Do we need more? Do we need less? What do we need to do? But a number of the things that are actively being worked on in the international space that we're all involved in is open data, cloud and distributed third-party record keeping. Yeah, define that as you will, and that's part of the challenge. Enterprise architecture and record keeping, how to articulate record keeping into the framework of enterprise architecture, and guidance for implementation of the current 15489, particularly in areas of appraisal, which to us seem perfectly obvious because we've been working with them for 20 years. To many of our colleagues internationally are very challenging. So Cassie Finlay, who you will all know, who was the project lead for the redevelopment of the 15489 standard this time around, is also actively working with the appraisal guidance to try and bring that one along. And the second one is, okay, how do I do this? The systems implementation level. So we won't have a part two. You may be familiar with the old part two of 15489. That won't exist anymore. Rather, we'll have specific guidance and all of these other pieces of work begin to build up into a corpus representing practice. So, one of my jobs as the current chair of the committee is to say, okay, well, what do you need? What do you want? What is useful for the community? And to encourage you to look to both what is out there, but also if anyone wants to become involved, we're very open and very keen. Thank you.